The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
So today, we are focusing on habits and addictions. If you are here in the first service, you will know that for many of you, this service is the answer you are looking for. So pay close attention. I follow you. Pay close attention. Now, I'll start from what I said last week, just like I did in the first service. What Satan wants to do to the believer is beyond, listen carefully and don't forget it, is beyond making him sin. What Satan wants to do is to put you in a cycle of sin and more sin, that cycle of defeat, where you are struggling to make progress. And that's what we call addiction. So when you find yourself, last week we were looking at temptation. When you find yourself tempted to steal or lie or do whatever, don't think that that's all Satan wants you to do. That's why he never stops. He wants you to go further and further until you are caught up in that web of sin and defeat. The way Jesus would say it to Peter in Luke 22 verse 31, he says, Simon, Satan has planned to sift you like wheat. Let me put it another way. Satan has planned to waste you. Okay? Okay, so what Satan wanted to do to Peter was not just that Peter would deny Jesus. So you see the progress. He made him deny him once. He didn't stop there. He denied him a second time. He didn't stop there. He denied him a third time. If nothing was done, he would have continued like that. He wants to waste you. So you come to a point where you become caught up in that web, that cycle, and it's like you no longer make progress. And that's what we call addiction. And that's where many people are. You know something I said in the first service? A lot of people, pastors, members, ministers, are struggling with a lot of issues. You know, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, we talk about the sin that easily besets us. Amen? He said, wherefore, seeing we are compassed with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And the sin, it looks like that is this stuff that people keep struggling with. And let me even say this to you, if you're listening to me this morning. One major reason why people don't break away from some of these challenges is they deny it. Because we are all trying to be hypocritical and pretend one who wear fine suit and act like, no, it's not me, it doesn't happen to me. Do you realize the first response of man when he sinned was to hide from God? The second response was to pass the blame. You observe that? It's not me. It's Eve. It's not me. It's serpent. So we pass the blame, we deny it, and then whatever you're going to, you know, one of the ways that you heal wounds, you have sometimes have to expose the wound to heal it. I get the point. So people are struggling with a lot of things. From masturbation to smoking to drinking and all that. I know one of the things Satan does to people. He gets you addicted to this stuff and makes you believe there's nothing wrong with it. But I'm going to show you, like I did in the first service, there's everything wrong with addictions. You find the sister that the first day she ever got involved in anything sexual, anything, she felt so bad. She even cried. Over time, what Satan will do is to normalize the sin to her and make her feel what's there. And then you hear things like, after all, I love him. Let me get a point. Or hear things like, after all, we are not even sleeping together. It's just touch. Amen. The brother that the first day he took a bottle. Now, it's not normal. I was there now. A man must. He doesn't know he's getting deeper and deeper into the web. Before you know, he can no longer stay a day. Even though I went to a certain village, I can't forget this experience. I've shared this story before. Many years ago, I went there for missions and I met this young guy. This guy works. They do walk. When I mean walk, it's not office work. Walk. Real walk. They get, you know, they... Now that speaks in English for you to understand it. Let me try. You know this stone for they use in building houses? They extract it from the ground and process it. And it worked with it. That was... That's a very difficult job. Do you know? You have to go with pick. You clear. I'm telling you, it's very difficult. That's what this guy does. Every day, he must make above 2,000 to 3,000. Every day. At the end, he's left with nothing. Because first of all, visit a beer parlor, drink, eat with a soup and that. And then after he will owe. So when the money comes for tomorrow, he goes to pay back the debt he got from the previous day and pays some part of what he will drink today. And the cycle continued. I said, he's a young guy, just leave. He was there. Man must drink. Go. You know, when we met him, got him saved. And I started helping him. I said, you should stop this. Let's even remove sin. Can't you see this sin is eating your money? It's destroying your life. I said, how much is your savings? The saving case. We don't have money. You know, I began to prove to him that you are actually earning more than most civil servants you know. How many of you know this? Think civil servants have money. And the country is not smiling. A country that the minimum wage is 18,000. What do you expect? So, you see a civil servant, as a state, for instance, all we see secondary school, some of them is 40,000 or some 60, some 70. I hope you know. But, I say you are earning more than some of these guys. I ran a calculation. I said the days you make 3,000, let's assume you work even 20 days in a month, that's 60,000. But because there is an addiction, I didn't get the point. But Satan has made it look to you like, it's a normal thing. And so, the thing is, the problem is, believe, I was listening to a pastor one day. He told me, he said, that when he got born again, he was addicted to smoking. That's after, not born again, like not like when he got born again newly. He was already a pastor on campus, but he was still smoking. He said, but he didn't want anybody to know. So when whatever happens, he goes in. Sometimes he just takes a stroll and he's going to do whatever. And then he smokes it. And then it's continued. He said one of those days they almost caught him. He was doing it in Zoom. The brethren came. Pastor, is pastor in? So he had to, you know, he doesn't even know whether they did not know. But see, smoking inside the room, everywhere was still. So he tried to, you know, clear the air. He's a pastor, like man of God. And people are in this way because we have thrown a coat of hypocrisy over the church where everybody's wearing suit and wearing fine gown and tying scarf. Nobody wants to know. So people are living in denial what they should confront and face. I get what I'm talking about. So I'm going to help you. Now, the thing is, and see the reason why people are denying. Because we've preached a wrong message to them. The fact that once the person says, I'm addicted, and say, and you call yourself a Christian. So we've made it look like once somebody is struggling with whatever, he's not a Christian, he's not a believer. Can a believer be addicted? Yes. Can a believer live in a cycle of yes? So, does God want the believer to do that? No. But can it happen? Yes. Why can it happen? I've explained that a couple of times. The reason is because when you get born again, your spirit gets saved, your mind is still undergoing a renewal. Now, because that mind is still in a process of renewal, some things will still be happening. You know, I gave an example. When you've killed something, you know, let me talk about human life. You know, you notice that sometimes someone has died. Some of you that are in the medical world, you find out someone could die. But some parts of his body will still be acting like it's alive. I get the point. The heart is no more beating, but then it takes some time before the whole body becomes cold, like suddenly. So the old man, the old nature you are carrying is dead. The Bible says that old man was crucified. That's Romans 6 verse 6. But some of the fruits of that old man is still alive. And where is it alive? Not actually in your spirit man, no. It is in your mind. Now, how do people get addicted? Very simple. People get addicted by constant exposure of themselves to something. He first of all saw, remember I was talking about temptation last week, he saw somebody smoke once. He didn't like it. When he was growing up, he vowed never to do it. And then he tried it one day and said, no, I won't do this again. He tries it again. By constant exposure, the thing now forms something in his heart that he can no longer do without that thing. He watched porn only one day. You know, he didn't plan to watch it. Somebody sent it to his phone. Amen. Some of you, that's where you watch for the first time. You've not watched in your life. You have. No, the first I ever saw anything called, but I never knew. It's when I grew up, I found that people used to watch. First I saw it, I was, you know, those days of when we started learning how to use Bluetooth to transfer whatever. Mark this, send for me. And send. This thing entered my phone. Funny enough, I was with my friends. I was with my friends, Pastor Casey, Pastor Chinedu, all of us were. And after I played, I said, now, wow. I said, come and see you. I said, look at what time did you get this? I don't know. I said, wow. I deleted it. But you see, for many people, that's where it starts from. That day, he gets discouraged. They say, what kind of nonsense is this? This will not have shame. Then, after 2 weeks, he watches again. At the same time, he does it, he feels bad. But gradually, his data begins to go for it. Every night. He now has it on his phone. He locks it up somewhere and acts like this. Let me say something to you. Everybody you know that is living in a certain type of mistake or addiction is feeling bad about it. It's just that it gets to a time, whether believer or unbeliever, it just gets to a time where you now tell yourself there's nothing wrong with it. You now act like you're fine. There's nothing there. But deep down, I didn't get a point. Even people that are addicted to sex, some guys living with ladies up and down, and they're forming big boy with it. No, deep down in your heart, you know you don't like it. You're not even proud of it. Because should your children begin to behave like that, you will correct them. So you know you don't like it. So confront it. Why it can happen is by constant exposure. That little guy that is sleeping with everybody all over the place, it just happened once. If he can tell himself the truth, the first day it happened, he felt very terrible about it. He even did not eat for some time. But you know how additions happen? By constant exposure. Repetition is how everything is formed. By constant repetition, you know, gradually. Well, it's not really that bad. You know, look back and say, I remember those days when I used to feel bad for doing this. Now we have matured. You did not mature. You only silence the voice of your conscience. Are you following me at all? You silence the voice of your mind. How did you silence it? By repetition. You kept doing it. You kept doing it. And so, that is how these additions form. Does God want it for the believer? No. But can it happen? Yes. That is why when the believer now gets saved, why do you come to church, for instance? You come to church for one reason. To renew your mind. That's the reason you come to church. So you keep hearing the truth. We are trying to... So what they are doing to renew your mind, they are trying to take away those negative influences that's taken over your mind and replace it with the truth of God's word. So, if you don't do that, you'll still be living in that cycle of sin, defeat, and all that. And I want you to hate it. Why should you hate it? I've explained that a couple of times. You should hate it because, first of all, listen carefully. First of all, that is not who you are. A believer living in sin or in addiction, I keep saying those times, is living the opposite of who he is. He's like a guy that dresses like a lady.
wears a very fine gown. Something is wrong with him. And you should have a problem with that. So, you are living the person of nature. So, you see the way Paul will put it in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. He mentions, began to mention sin. Mentions all those sins. He said, neither effeminate, adulterers, and all that. Verse 11. He now says, such we are some of you. So, in other words, telling the believer, you are not like this. Even though in that Corinthian church, by their conduct, some of them were living like that. But in answer to them, no, you're not like that. So when a believer is found lying, what he is doing is he's let me put it this way. Any believer living in sin is living a lie. You know what I said? Because in reality, he's not a sinner. And so the reason why, if you find yourself getting attacked or something, you should have a problem with it, is because that is not who you are. You are living the opposite of who God has made you. And never be comfortable with it. I don't know why I'm going this direction in this service. Never be comfortable with it. Never. Never find comfort. Never relax. You make the mistake and feel like, wow, nothing dead here. Something dead here. You are living the opposite of who you are. God did not create you to be a smoker. If not, you would have put chimney on your head. You get what I said? Say amen. Say amen. Now put chimney on your head. Now when you smoke, you will be passing through that place. There's no way you can create to be a smoker and not really put anywhere that it will be passing through. And you see the problem. When the guy begins to live in that, he forgets every consequences. You see, that's why I tell you guys, how to help an addicted person is not by telling him the consequences of the addiction. It won't help him. Because he knows the consequences. That's why it's an addiction. He knows that so much drinking can damage his liver. And what else? He knows who. He knows that bogus are liable to die young. He knows. He knows that by moving from one woman to another, he's reducing his reputation and he's exposing himself to dangers of catching whatever this is. He knows. So if you begin to tell him, he already knows it. I don't get the point. He knows. So you, the believer, you should have a problem with it because it's living against your nature. It's living against who you are totally. Another reason why you should have a problem with it, for instance, is that God has empowered you over sin. So you are living and submitting yourself under something that you've been empowered over, above. Romans 6 verse 14, sin shall not have dominion over you. So God has placed you above stealing. And you are still allowing stealing control. You should have an issue with it. I didn't get the point. That's the issue with sin. What it is not, I'm still coming to this. What it is not because where people have a mistake with this, when they say, if you find yourself addicted, listen, God has rejected you. God is looking at you, he's angry with you. No, God is not angry with a man that is living in addiction. God doesn't hate him. God hates his sin, but doesn't hate him. And that's even where freedom starts from for many of you. The fact that you need to realize that even though you are living, you're addicted to whatever, God himself cannot look at you with hatred. No. In fact, as a matter of fact, God does not hate anybody. Say amen. Anybody, including that witch that's been killing your village, God doesn't hate him. You know? God doesn't hate Osama bin Laden. God doesn't hate Boko Haram people. Say amen. No, if I say God loves everybody, it doesn't make sense. Now I start making it. It's not looking. It doesn't hate Boko Haram. Now, don't hear what I didn't say. He doesn't like what they're doing. He will not support what they're doing, but he doesn't hate them. Why? God does not have the capacity to hate. God is love. I don't get the point. And so he doesn't hate them. So the believer making a mistake should not think
that God has hated him. You know, I showed you guys something in the first service. Remember Judas? Put it up. John 12 verse 3. Judas with NLT. Everybody look at the screen. This will bless you so much. Glory to God. Then took Mary a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with fragrance. So this Mary came. You know, this story is funny whenever I read it, because many of you don't think about it so much. You know, this woman was a prostitute, kind of. So imagine I'm sitting down here waiting for a message to start, and then one very popular prostitute, one I know for this Enugu, just walks in. Of course, she wouldn't be dressing fine. She's a prostitute, walks in, ushers try to stop her, and she escapes the ushers, comes down, kneels down, opens expensive whatever, and begins to, expensive cream, and begins to rub my leg with it. And kissing the leg, and using her hair too. And me, I did not do anything. Because Jesus did not say, stop it. He was enjoying it. I was just looking at her. You see, religion has sent more people to hell than Satan. See what I said? Religion. So, Judas had many reasons to be angry. One, who is this one? So, you see what she did? You see what she did here? It's what people are doing in our generation. Look at what he did. Judas, the Iscariot, not carrot. The disciple who will betray him said, look, that perfume was worth a year's wages. So you already calculated the amount of the perfume. It should have been sold. And the money given to the poor. What does that sound like? Facebook generation. He said, did you hear that Bishop this bought a private jet? He said, why won't he sell it and give the money to the poor? You are just Judas. You are just Judas. Say, they are just busy doing crusade. Oh, do you know how people that thing can feed? Let me say something to you. You know, people are just bothered. They just want the church to do everything. What is the church doing about hungry people? What is the church doing about people that don't have homes? What's the church doing about this cold? This cold is too much. What's the church doing about it? The heat is too much. What is people's problem? Do you know that if the church builds a home for everybody, the money they use in building that cathedral can build a house for more than 10 people in church, and they're using it to build a cathedral? That's your Judas. Amen. You see, it's amazing when we come to Facebook and see people have never read their Bible in 2 years trying to teach how church should be done. What do you know about church and how it should be done? Say, church should be building road for you. If church builds road for you, celebrate. They just did it. It's not their job. Say amen. It's not their job at all. God did not call us to build road. I'm not the government. You didn't vote me into power. You leave people you voted into power. That will not blame me for not building road. I should put electricity for all of you. Now you're. But the problem is, churches even do these things. So sure you know. Churches do these things. Nobody wants to see it. It's when they hear that Bishop this bought a private jet. You calculate the amount. That's what calculated the amount of it. It's a 1 year wage that can be used to feed the poor. But see, Jesus revealed his heart in the next verse. Not that he cared for the poor, because most of us don't care about the poor. Somebody said that to me. I said, how much have you given to the poor? You in particular. Because they don't really care about the poor. It's just their hatred for the church. Judas knew was because he was a thief. So he was a thief. No, the Bible didn't say he stole. He was a thief. That's why I want to show you how God sees people that are. He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some money for himself. Oh, you know, taking money for himself. The amazing thing, Jesus knew that a thief was in his ministry. And was still sending this thief for mission work. Amen? Do you think Jesus likes stealing? No.
Did he do teachings along that line to help him? Yes. Did he condemn the young man? No. So when you find yourself addicted, God doesn't. That's why you see people, I'll touch this on Thursday. People are addicted. What does he put? They stop coming to church. You don't know God. That's the first thing. You don't know the first thing about God and his character. God doesn't hate people because they're struggling with sin. He doesn't. He doesn't. So this guy was a thief in Jesus' ministry and Jesus left him. They will go for mission. I thought sometimes you want to send them for mission and say, well, you, go. Judas, stay back. What do you want? What do you know you're going to preach? Another part of this story that touches me is the fact that Jesus did not change him as a treasurer. That part still shocks me. If I let me drop this, for people that are ready to attack church and all that, listen carefully. The fact that one or two persons are doing wrong in a church doesn't mean the church is not of God. The church is not a home for perfect people. I get what I'm saying? Jesus had only 12 members. One was a thief. So if I have more than 100 and there is one thief, I tried. Do you understand me? He had 12 members. One was a thief. The other one, Peter, was a talkative. James and John, men of fire. Those ones, angry human beings. Let us burn this entire village. And Jesus accommodated all these people in his ministry with all their mess. Kept trusting that they will get better, but kept them. God doesn't throw people away when they sin. I follow him at all. He doesn't reject you when you make a mistake. And so, let me explain that stuff I did in the first service. John 15 verse 1. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Then when you read verse 2, it looks like he's saying, verse 2 said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So it looks like what Jesus is saying is, if you don't bear fruit and you are a branch, I'm going to cut you off. But that's not what it does. No wise farmer does that. The word taketh away in the Greek, I showed you, is the word airo, A-I-R-O. It doesn't mean to throw away. Actually, it means to lift up, to bear up. And we saw the Passion Translation, so let's use it again. Who read for us? Yeah, Passion Translation. So read that John 15 verse 2 with the Passion Translation. Who else has you have it? Read from your own. Very quickly. So everybody listen carefully. John 15 verse 1 and 2 with Passion Translation. Huh? Is the mic on?
I am a true sprouting vine.
Listen carefully, listen.
And the farmer who tends the vine is my Father.
So God is the farmer. Right? So Jesus is the vine. God is the farmer. Now, watch, continue.
He cares for the branches connected to me. By
So who are the branches? We are the branches, right? Now.
By lifting and propping up the fruitless branches.
So what does he do to the fruitless branches? He lifts it up. He doesn't cut it off. Amen? He lifts it up. And read that footnote beside that. See what the Passion Translation said. A footnote beside that. Listen.
The Greek phrase can be translated, he takes up to himself every fruitless branch. He doesn't remove these branches, but he takes them to himself. And as the wise and loving farmer, he lifts them up off the ground to enhance their growth.
He does it to enhance their growth. So it's not like I see a branch that's not doing well and I cut it off. That's not what God does. He takes it away and gives it special treatment. It's only a foolish farmer that comes to a group of livestock and one is sick. Anyone that gets sick, you kill it. Anyone that gets sick, you kill it. Before you know, you kill all your... So, when one gets sick, what do? You quarantine it. I mean, you isolate it. Which one? Quarantine. I think there's a difference. So, you keep it aside. Are you keeping it aside to destroy it? No. You're keeping it aside to give it special treatment.
Let me get a point. So I can get better. So when a branch is not bearing fruit, he doesn't cut it off and then throw it into the fire. No. He lifts it up, gives it his own treatment, so it can begin to bear fruit like the other branches. Hallelujah. And that's what God does. So you're struggling, God doesn't throw them away. He doesn't clap for them either. Another thing God doesn't do is that he doesn't leave the person. But some of you think, once you begin to make mistakes, God says, I'm leaving you. And I was making a joke with it in the first service. Many of us think that the Holy Spirit is petty, like you or your girlfriend. One quarrel, I'm done with this relationship. You think that's how the Holy Ghost does? So once you just sin, he says, hey, I'm leaving. In Jamaica, remember I said, Papa? You know, say, God, I'm sorry. And I say, let's stay. You know, you make mistakes, I'm leaving. That's what you think. So every time you make mistake, you think the Holy Ghost just flew out of me. When you confess, it flies back. Because it's a dove. No. Jesus said of the Holy Ghost in John 14:16, I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you for how long? Forever. He doesn't go. He never leaves. And I'll tell you something. If you made a mistake, you started making some mistakes, and you feel, you know the Holy Ghost left you when you started making a mistake, I'll tell you, it's just a feeling. He never left. He has never. When he comes to stay. He comes to stay. You know, if you understand this thing we call Holy Spirit, do you know this is your nature now? Do you know to say the Holy Ghost left you means that you died? Because your nature is the life in us. You know, the Holy Ghost is the life of Christ in us. He doesn't leave. So people making mistakes, God is not saying apply for it, but he doesn't leave. And I said something in the first service. The Bible said God hates divorce. Right? And pastors believe it. Pastors preach it. The same pastors that believe that God hates divorce believe that Jesus will divorce his bride one day when they make mistakes. So God is a hypocrite. He stays one place and says, don't divorce your wife. And then he turns behind and looks at his own bride, the church, and say, I divorce if you make a mistake. That's not my God. He never leaves. He came to stay. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13, verse 7. He said, be content. Is it verse 7? Verse 7 or verse 9. He said, be content with such things, such as you have. He said, for he has said, I will never leave you. That, verse 5, rather. Say, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God says he will never. When he says, I will never, he doesn't add condition to it. So, as the guy making a mistake, you are still saved. You are still righteous. But God doesn't want you to continue in it because that thing is against your nature. Are you getting what I'm talking about? It's against who you are. And you are above it. So it's just like submitting yourself to something that is supposed to be under you. Taking instructions from something that's supposed to be under you. And the third issue this addiction has, I said in first service, is that addiction is it's a terrible thing because, and why God doesn't want you to be addicted, is because God does not want anything to control your will. Please never forget this. God does not want anything. So that's why I was making an example in first service. People ask me questions like, I have this addiction. It's not a sin, actually. But then, when somebody is about to ask me, you've been talking about smoking in this service. Did the Bible say smoking is a sin? Are you saying drinking is a sin? Look, see, what God also wants is anything controlling your will, such that you can no longer do without it. Him, God, does not even control our will like that. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, put up Amplified. When he was talking about love, he said, love is this, love is that, love is this. When he now said, look at it, he said, it is not considered arrogant or inflated with pride. It is not rude or mannerly. Now, it does not act unbecomingly. See the next verse. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own ways. God's, the kind of love God has for us, it doesn't force himself on you. So if God does not force you to do anything, he doesn't take over your will to do anything, how will you allow some other thing to take over your will, such that you are sleeping in the night, you just wake up and start smoking. Amen. You just wake up immediately. You know, I thought somebody told me, he said, this thing wakes me up. Masturbation. He said, it wakes me up in the night. It's like, maybe I would have slept thinking I've conquered it. It will just, I'll feel something tap me. He said, once I wake up like that, I must do it. Amen. People are struggling with these things. Amen. Sometimes say, sir, I didn't want to visit the boy, but it looked like something else was carrying my leg. I knew I didn't want to go. And see what the devil will now, as you are going, he begin to make excuses, give you excuses, say, don't worry. If you go there, don't let him touch you. You guys, you just stand outside and talk. Are you a fool? The thing has taken over with. God doesn't want it to be like that. And so what is the way out of addiction? I can tell you already. The first key, and that's the only one I'm going to deal with today. We continue on Thursday. The first key is knowledge. There are basic things that you need to know. Knowledge, there are things you need to know. For instance, I'm already talking about some of them. You need to know, first of all, write this and never forget it. You need to know about your forgiveness in Christ as though you've not heard it before. People don't know that their sins are forgiven. And once you don't, they are not assured on the fact of your forgiveness in Christ, no matter how much you try to break an addiction, you keep doing it. 1 John chapter 2 verse 12. He said, my dear children, I'm writing unto you. Why? For your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Our sins are forgiven. Not will be forgiven. Our sins have been forgiven. Say, my sins are forgiven. Say it again. That's verse 12. Say it again. Shout it. Announce it. Preach to your neighbor. My sins are forgiven. Say, I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. And notice the tenses is in the past. Your sins are already forgiven. Okay, so let me ask you. If I'm addicted to lying, has it been forgiven? If you don't settle it, do you know why people continue in that cycle of defeat? Guilt. You know, people feel, how many of you have ever made promises to God about a particular sin that you will never commit it again? How many of you committed it again? Just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. We are plenty. You get to the altar, I cry, maybe after one hot message. And they say, Lord, I've made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look at a woman. If I do it, Lord, make me blind. Somebody actually wrote this. I saw this. So that was teasing him. He wrote a lot of this. If I do this, strike me with leprosy. If you see, I'm not joking. So I now put it and started laughing. I told him, hey, now wow. If I don't demand by now, and I said, how? I said, see all this, you don't do all these things now. He said, God is helping me. I said, no. It's self-righteousness. Once you are caught up with that guilt, you are feeling so guilty. You will go back again and again, because guilt, the first thing guilt does, I didn't mention this in the first service. One thing that guilt does is, guilt, I wrote it in my notes, I said, guilt produces a state of mind that makes you believe that you cannot do better. Once you feel guilty, it kills your self-esteem. So it takes away that thing that you even conquer the sin. So you begin to feel like I can't do better. So you're already fighting from a point of defeat. I kept announcing your sins are forgiven. No. And I said in the first service, God did not say your past sins or future sins. God says all your sins are forgiven. So even, do you know the truth? When Jesus died on the cross, even this masturbation you are masturbating now, you've not committed it by then. So Jesus forgave all of them in the future. I do get the point. Your sins have been paid for and are forgiven. Settle it in your heart. Ephesians 1 verse 7. We have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. Glory to God. Colossians 2 verse 13. I can go on and on. I can teach on forgiveness for the whole year. Because I will still show you, it is the basic of victory in your Christian walk. The basic thing. He says, and you being dead in your sins and also on the unsubstantiated of your flesh, had you quickened together, having forgiven how many? All. How many? All. So how many of your sins are forgiven? Is lying there? Fornication, stealing, smoking, all. All. Is it past, present, or future? All. Glory to God. All my sins are forgiven. Settle this in your heart. That's where your fight now begins from. You now begin to try to conquer it from that standpoint. 2 Peter 1 verse 5. Maybe we'll work with NLT for this service. We did it in James in the first service. So everybody please look at the screen. 2 Peter 1 verse 5 with NLT. It says, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. Moral excellence with knowledge. Verse 6. Knowledge with self-control. Self-control with patient endurance. Patient endurance with godliness. You should add all these things to your life. That's spiritual growth. Moral excellence and all that. Now, and godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love for everyone. God says you should have all this. But then, verse 8, he now explains, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I will grow. Man, now, but what is the key to all these things? Verse 9. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their... So what did he call your sins? Old. So it is forgetting that you've been cleansed from your old sins that stops from developing spiritually. When people lose sight of their forgiveness, they're already defeated. Every other sin is gone. And that's why some of you cannot work for God. You can't do what? Because there's this guilt in you. I told you guys a story. They were conducting deliverance on a young girl. And he gave them word of knowledge. You remember that story? If I could not deliver, in the name of Jesus, you come out, kidding, bah, bah. And the girl just looked at them and said, you want to cast me out? You that stole money last 2 weeks. And she was correct, all of them. You don't know what the devil, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. That's his job description. And then you that you collected extra scoops from your father. I'm not unsure. She was very correct. So after they finished, the leader looked at all of them and said, how did he even put it? He said something about the seven sons of Sceva and said they should repent of their sins and confess their sins. And they all knelt down and began to confess their sins. And the girl was walking in their midst. Do you know? That is the height of defeat. Who born you? It's not possible. It's not. See, you don't see. There is no condemnation for the man in Christ. You can't do that to me. You know, when people go for program and they call a prophet calls them out and say you did this, it's not me. I just gave it to you for free. It is not me. It's a lie, sir. I don't even need to think about it. It's not true. I don't know who told you. It's not me. I didn't do it. So I'm seeing you. For this of him, I say it's a lie. You can't even call me. You know, madman, they fear transformer. That familiar spirit that used to talk to them, they know. You call me out and tell me I did what? You just embarrass your ministry. I didn't do it. You leave the meeting condemned. So they could even, just after they finished, they were busy praying. The girl walked. I think there was one of them that read the letter, stood up and went after the girl. And told them, what are we even doing? What are we even doing? You need to realize that. Do you know Satan? I don't know. This is not a miracle. This is not a teaching on gift of spirit. But let me say this to you. You don't have to be perfect to cast Satan out. Do you know what I said? Take it from me. Take it to the bank. You don't have to be perfect. Let me say this to you. If this is my son now, and I am the president, presido. I have many servants under me. I'll use servants. I will not even use enemies. Servants under me. Praise God. And all of them are supposed to obey this my son because he is my son. If I am having issues with this my son, it doesn't concern the servants. Because I didn't sin against them. It's my father I sinned against.
So the servant cannot say he will not obey this guy because of, it's not possible. You don't need to be perfect. You just need to be a child of God. And you are one. So they goofed that day. Leave Satan alone. If you leave that guy, he's going to mess you up. Guilt is his tool. He will play it in your mind, play it in your mind. And once you keep feeling that way, you cannot move on from that addiction. You can't. I'll say more things on Thursday. Because of our time, let's just start winding up. So, guilt becomes the major thing. So, forgiveness. Learn, number one, about your forgiveness. Secondly, you learn about the fact that you are righteous and you are holy. None of us know we are righteous. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 said he made him to be sin. Who knew no sin? That we might be made righteous of God in Christ Jesus. So I'm righteous in him. Say it again. I'm righteous in Christ Jesus. You need to know it. And I was saying it the other day, or the other Sunday. You are not just... Jesus is our righteousness, and we are his righteousness. On the scale of righteousness, we weigh the same as God. That's not a blasphemous statement. That is a fact. That as I'm as righteous as God. Now, I took it a step further in first service to explain holiness to you. Holiness. Holiness, listen to me. Holiness is not about... What makes someone holy? It's a long skirt. So that sister, she's holy. Especially if he doesn't walk fast. Bless you. So if you are anyhow, you are not holy. Bless you. Bless you. Just march on her legs. She wants to beat you up in her heart. What's this? Holiness is actually, I explained that in first service. Holiness, the word holy means to be set apart. Pay attention. When you hear I've sanctified you, it doesn't mean I've washed you. Mm-mm. Holiness means to set something apart. That's what it means. And I showed you guys in the first service that actually the first thing that was ever sanctified in the Bible was not even a human being. It was a day. He said the seventh day. The Lord rested on that day, so I've sanctified it. So, holiness doesn't just have to be human beings. A day can be sanctified. God said to Moses, put off your shoes where you are standing. It's a holy ground. Did the ground obey any law or commandments? No. Listen carefully. The word holy means to set something apart. Where you are standing is a holy ground. The clothes that the priests wore in the Old Testament were holy. Why? They were set apart. Glory to God. We can come to this church now and get a microphone and say this mic is pastor's mic. You cannot sing with it. Neither can you lead prayer with it. If we do it like that, realize before we went to buy it from the market, it was like every other mic. When we now brought it to the church, it became pastor's mic. You can't touch it. We have made it holy. Who made it holy? We sanctified. We set it apart. Just like I explained to you, you come to home, they say there is that this spoon is always big. Not that this spoon is always big. But that is have big mouth. So they buy it, and if you're a woman here and you get married or you're married, make sure you do that for your husband. No, listen to me. Let me teach something. It's not about loving him. You are teaching your kids how to respect their father without saying anything. By letting them know that there is daddy's plate, daddy's spoon, daddy's... It already plants a mindset that see, daddy is not any kind of person. No. But if you don't do that, they'll just see daddy like every other person. That's even daddy's seat. When there is daddy and mommy's seat. Okay, let me use a normal example. This seat now, before we bought it from the market, it was anybody could use it. But now, should somebody walk into this church and walk in and come and sit here?
Ushers will stop you. Why are they stopping her? What's special about the seat? Who made it pastor's seat? We bought it and said it is now pastor's seat. We have set it apart. We've sanctified it. It's now holy. It is holy unto the pastor. There is nothing special about it. But there is not something special. Now, that's what holiness is. So, it's about, that's the verses in the temple, we are called holy. Seventh day, called holy. We saw Ezra 8 verse 28. He said, you are holy unto the Lord. The vessels are holy also. So, vessels, pots, plates, spoon, he said they are holy. So, what makes something holy? It is people that make people holy. It is people that make things holy. So if you think you can be holy on your, you can't. That's why you find that when the Bible talks about holiness or sanctification in the New Testament, he talks about the fact that it is Christ that made us holy. So you must begin to see yourself like you're holy. Say, I'm holy. Say it again. Say it again. I am sanctified. Hebrews 10 verse 8. Hebrews 10 verse 8. Glory to God. He said, above when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not. Neither has pleasure in them or therein which are offered by the law. Verse 9, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. That's talking about the covenants. Verse 10, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body. So how are we sanctified? By the offering of Jesus. So nobody is sanctified or made holy by his words. It is by the offering of Jesus. God made us holy. Hallelujah. All the way to verse 14 because of our time. Let's read verse 14 from wherever we are. Echo it from where. Let me hear you. So, how long are we perfected? Who are we? Them that are sanctified. Say, I'm sanctified. So, you must begin to see yourself like that. Where does holy or righteous living, as in living, comes in? Holy living now comes from the fact that you already said apart. Listen, if you are not already holy, your works don't count for anything. Your works can make you holy. Look at them. I think we saw that in First Service, Exodus chapter Leviticus 20 verse 26 rather. He says, and ye shall be holy unto me. When he says you shall be unto me, say, for I the Lord am holy and have severed you. So I have separated you from every other nation. So living holy will now start from knowing that you're already holy. So even in at the fact that you believe, you're already holy. The way Ephesians 5 verse 8 to put it, he said, you are sometime darkness. He said, now are you light? What did he now say? Walk as. So how can you walk as light? By knowing that you are light. If you are not light, you cannot walk as light. Say amen. If you're not already, okay. If you are not light and you're walking as light, what are you doing? You are pretending. So if you are not holy and you're walking like a holy person, you are pretending. It is being holy in Christ first. So your works is no longer what makes you holy. Your works now becomes a proof of your holiness, a way to show your holiness. I get what I'm talking about. It's not a way to earn it, it's a way to show it. So I'm holy. Say it again. So you're holy in Christ Jesus. So settle that truth in your heart. God calls you a saint. So I'm sent. I'm a saint. Sent what? Sent what? Sent to be. Sent what? You are a saint. The day we reduce saints to people that have died, that's where we had an issue. Jara. Two categories of this saint thing. Okay, there are saints in the world. There are saints triumphant. That's where I've died. It's the same church. The Bible says, talks about the church, the whole family in heaven and on earth. There is a family of God on earth. There is a family of God in heaven. People that have died that are there. All of us, the same family. Okay, let me sit around that way. Yeah, he said, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is his name. Let me sit around that way. Paul, as he has died now and is in heaven, is not more saintly than you. Do you understand? He is not holier than you.
because it is the same salvation that he got that you got. Bible calls it our common salvation. We all share it in common. Friends, if you're going to break up from addiction, settle this truth in your heart. I'm forgiving, I'm righteous, I'm holy. And settle the fact, for instance, of the fact that sin is not under, is no longer your master. I will explain this on Thursday, Father. Sin is not your master. You are not under sin. If you know this, you know, I did something in first service and I shared a story with them. A young girl that wrote to me about masturbation and all that. And I told her, let's play with words in the Bible. So I gave her a scripture. I said, wherever you see this, put your name. So we're going to do it. But before we look at that, sin is not your master. Romans 6 verse 17. Hallelujah. Let me tell them, say, neighbor, shake up the person. Pastor is talking to you. Sin is no longer your master. Lying is not your master. Fornication is not your master. Stealing is not your master. Masturbation is not your master. Smoking is not your master. People wonder, why are you talking about smoking? This is a church. See, I've seen things. I think it was a UB school that we saw that one of those my people, beautiful people I had, SS1, SS2, yellow, and she was smoking. Amen? And you see, that's why I said addiction is a terrible. Do you know the problem? She was even, I think she was asthmatic also. And she would smoke it. And I started doing... Well, when I think there was a... Remember that day? They were in the house and then... I thought, this one, don't do this. I was not even in the mood. And she went and smoked the thing again. And the thing, I said, leave her. She will not die. I'm here. If she die, we'll raise her. Leave her. They were all of them around. I said, we should leave her alone. Where around? Jodin, I said, leave her alone. I said, Shay, if you want to smoke that thing again, she said, yes. Things happen though. You see, if you are not careful, Satan is going to put you in this web. But I'm showing you the way out. That thing is not your master. You have to first realize it doesn't matter how long you've done it. Look at word of NLT. Let's read from the screen. It says, thank God. Somebody say, thank God. Once you were a slave, say, once I was a slave of sin. But now I wholeheartedly obey this teaching that has been given to me. Verse 18 is you again. Now I am free from my slavery to whatever sin you want to put there. Take note of the tenses of the Bible. It didn't say you will be free. It said you are free. So your experience is not stronger than the word of God. I didn't get the point. You are free and you have become, I'm a slave of righteous living. I have never, since I got born again, I'm not a slave of any sickness. Keep saying that to yourself. You know, I'll talk about this on Thursday. Pastor Prince used to, you know Pastor Joseph Prince? Used to share a story of somebody that he helped conquer smoking. So he told the guy, that anytime you get the stick, if you smoke it, this is funny. So once you smoke it, shout, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The guy said, I say yes. So you just, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm righteous in Christ. Do you know? You cannot. It is balanced diet. Oh God. You. I'll talk about confession on Thursday. You cannot keep declaring that. What you find out is the appetite for that smoking will die. Amen. Imagine you are angry at someone. You're about to beat the person. You are with God and shouting, I'm a peaceful person. Okay. I love this guy. The more you're saying it, the more you're losing the power to kill him. Amen. The next time you're already there, you're about to sleep in whatever. Not when you started though. When you're already there, just don't think it's that shouting. I'm righteous in Christ. I'm righteous in Christ. I'm righteous in Christ. I'm holy in Him. You cannot do it. The person will say, what is happening now? He said, I'm righteous in Christ. I'm righteous in Christ. I'm holy in Him. I'm, as I do it, you're dressing up. I'm sanctified in Christ.
You cannot live in this reality. And Pastor Prince said, the guy kept doing it. He came back to him and said, this thing is, I can no longer smoke. Every time I start saying that, you say I should smoke, I should say, I will now drop the thing. I said, that is it. You need to know. So Romans 6 verse 6. I'm not a slave to sin, no. And you are not. I don't care who you are before you came here. I'm telling you, you are not. Not a smoke to that. It says, but I'm a slave. I know myself. I can't help it. I'm now introducing you to you. Get back to the first the mirror and say, wow. See the guy that is not a slave to this. He says, sir, what if I leave this meeting and I do it again? Can I shock you? You probably will. Amen. That's why I'm going to close. Put up NLT. We know. You should know. So I know. I know that my old sinful self, or my old masturbation, or my old smoking, or my old fornication, or my old lying. You get the point? Has been crucified with Christ, so that lying might lose its power in my life. I am no longer a slave. I am not. Say to yourself for time. Know it. Verse 7 now puts the icing on the cake. He said, for when I died with Christ, I was set free from the power of whatever sin you put there. When they call you, you guys are rapping the Igbo. Say this on Thursday. Start talking. I'm not a slave to this thing. He says, should I be saying it out? You don't know. Are you not smoking in the open? I'm not a slave to this thing. How can weed? Weed is what it is. It's weed. Keep you in bondage. I am not a slave to this. Christ has set me free. But let me close this way. You are not going to be free from these addictions because you just heard what I shared now. It is by repetitions that addictions form. It is by repetition too that we break it. So the things you heard now, you have to keep hearing them again and again. That's how you renew your mind. So James 1 verse 22 that we saw in the first service, go back to King James. It says, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. So, be a doer of the word, amen? How can you be a doer of the word? He shows you in the next verse. Verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, how is the hearer of the word? He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. So the hearer looks at his face in a glass. But look at what he does, verse 24. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way. So he comes to church, hears it once, and goes his way. And he forgets what manner of man he is. That's what some people do. You come to church, pastor is teaching, this pastor can teach. I have not heard this kind of teaching before. I'm forgiven in Christ. Child, I feel so relieved. And you go, you will not be fine. Because that addiction did not stop when you smoked the first day. It didn't start that day. It took time to build. You didn't even know it was building. You know the thing, you think you're still in control. In fact, I'm going to say something on Thursday. There is one way to handle this addiction thing. Introduce another addiction. The same way you build the other addiction, build prayer as an addiction. And I tell you, the same way is the same thing. You keep smoking every day, until you lose. You cannot look at it without it. Just start praying every day. Introduce study, for instance. Grow in the word. If you hear it once, you'll not be fine. We started something in worldwide school. We called it MBMB. No Bible, no breakfast. Amen. He kept us in serious check when it comes to Bible study. I will not touch food today until I've studied my Bible. In constant exposure to the word of God. So look at what it says about the doer. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful doer, shall be but a forever hearer rather, but a doer of the work. So the doer of the work is the man that continues looking. So he hears once, he hears again. He hears once, he hears again. He reads it in a book. He listens to it in teaching every day. You cannot do well hearing God's word once every week. Stay on it. That's how to be a consistent hearer. That's what produces doing. I'm a doer of the word. So you've heard this. I want to challenge you, grow in it. You cannot finish now and leave this place and go and listen to one other. Because that's the problem people have. They are not telling their righteous Christ, they're feeling good. Then they go to the next meeting and the pastor says, see, there is spirit of fornication. The way, you know, they serve you something else. And mumu, you accept too. You see, you are confused. That's the point. You are confused. You don't even know which one you want to believe. And your brain, is that how to renew your mind? Your brain is just running up and down, running up and down. So today you're on the altar crying, Father, I rededicate my life to you. I promise I'll not. Now you're not going to church. Pastor, let me teach you something different. You say, man, this guy is making sense. Then you go back again. You see how your life is. Because somebody lied to you. Somebody told you that all of them are correct. Not today. Say, the person, the revelation God gave you, that pastor has revelation of grace. That one has revelation of fire. Do you know it's amazing? Listen. The doctor, he studied, let's use nursing. You're studying nursing. You're in Parkland. What are you studying? Nursing too. But then you're in ASUT. You're still in Eastern school. Then, where's Tisha? You're studying nursing. You're in UNEC. All these people study nursing from different schools. When they come into the hospital, they all treat the same way. They all know the same thing. Even though they went to different schools, it's the same curriculum used to teach them. One school might have taught better than the other, but it's the same thing. But when it comes to church, we think any pastor can teach anyway. It depends on the one you believe and the one you know. No, that's why there is confusion everywhere. You better learn the one that is true. One is true, one is a lie. All of them are not true. Are you getting the point? Just like we now come, teacher now say, well, in our own school, they taught us that there are 30 bones, only 30 bones. They don't say that at school. What they taught us is that they say it depends on their revelation of bones. Glory to God. Well, forget about joking. How many bones do we have in the body? I miss Mona. Where is Mona? I miss him. He's the right person for this question. So everybody's supposed to, so the word of God is supposed to be the truth. The same teaching. I tell you, the teaching that I'm sharing with you is the gospel. Our sins are forgiven. Learn it and grow in it. How to be a doer, keep hearing it. So this week, get right teachings. Have you been blessed? Keep learning. Keep growing. So what if I do make the mistake again? That's what I'm talking about. Immerse yourself into it. You cannot get well just by hearing it today and then tomorrow it's over. No. Stay there. Hear it again and again and again. The same way by repetition that one formed, it will form. So, Jesus will talk in Matthew 7. I should have the first service. Maybe just that. And one more. We close. So let me close my notes so that we will not. Matthew 7 verse 24. He talks about, he said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. He said, it's like a wise man that has built his house on the rock. So doing the work is like your house being on the rock. Right? How do you do the word again? Do you remember? Hearing it. What will happen when your house is on the rock? He said, the wind will come. The rain will fall. The house will not fall. That's when your house is on the rock. That's when you've started doing the work. That's when you've heard it and heard it. So building your house on the rock doesn't happen in one day. It's consistent exposure to the word of God. The truth of God's word. And then, he now talks about the house that is built on sand. Who is the guy that built his house on sand? The Bible says the guy that hears it and doesn't do them. In other words, the guy that heard only once and forgot what he heard. What happens to him? The rain comes. That's why at every temptation you stumble. You've heard only once. Matthew 13, and that's the last thing. We'll talk about the parable of the sower. one head, the seed fell on the roadside. Birds carried it. There are people like that. I don't even hear what I'm saying at all. I don't even hear it at all. They're wondering why we are still in church. By now. So what are we still doing? If I had known, I would have gone to my church. If I don't know. Then there is a second category. The word falls on stony, whatever. They got it all. This makes sense. That is third category. The one that fell on a good soil, but then there were thorns. Challenges will come. Temptations will come. The guy falls. The last one are people that the word bore fruit in them. 30-fold. The secret to all these things is to continue in the word. If you don't want the word to fly away, stay on. Be in church. Listen to messages. That's why I told you in the first service, take it like medication. Not when a doctor prescribes something to you, say 2 tablets in the morning, 2 in the night. That's how to do the word of God. I'm on doctor's prescription. Okay, I'm on pastor's prescription. The same way you don't skip drug, don't skip it. Morning, let me give you a prescription. Amen. Come, let me give you messages and recommend some books for you. Morning, one message. Night, one chapter of the book. That's the prescription. Amen. And then after the chapter of the book, you study your Bible. Make just one chapter of the Bible we do. You pray and you sleep. Repeat it like that. By exposing yourself to the word of God, you are getting stronger and you will conquer. There are more things to say. That will be on Thursday. And we'll round up this service. God wants you to live in victory. Amen. He doesn't want you to stay addicted. And I tell you, there is an answer in God. I've seen the answer already. You can live above those defeats. So hear them again. That's why you notice I keep preaching along this line. And even next 50 years, I'll be preaching along this line. Because you need to suppress some negative stuff in your mind with the word of God. And it's by constant exposure. So hear them again and again. If let me say this to you. Anything you've learned in the word of God that is not bearing fruit yet in you, should I give you the answer to it? You've not learned it. Take it and stay on it. I was telling you guys in the first episode about Brother Hagin's camp meeting. They hold camp meetings 21 days. 21. The idea is they hear the word morning, afternoon, night. You know the thing is, what's supposed to happen to you over 3 months, we can compress it in 14 days by teaching it morning, afternoon, night. It must, your life must shift. So listen to God's word like that. Hear it every day. Stay on it. It will produce. Amen. Amen. It will produce. You know, one wrote to me, I believe he might be following this service now. And this is one wrong thing people do. He said, whenever I feel pressure to make that mistake, I'll start playing music. No. No. You don't start playing music. It's God's word that combats these things. It's not music. He said, but the music is the word of God. See, that time is not to be... See, forget keyboard. That time is when you start listening to... You start confessing the word. Let me tell you, hear the word. But when you stand, I'll touch this on Thursday. But when you stand in the face of the temptation already, it's not time to start hearing the word. It's time to start confessing the word. I'll touch it on Thursday. Amen. Confess and be patient. See, I'm confessing it. I still want to be doing it. Continue. So what if after I did that, you said one day, after confessing it for 1 hour, I still did it. Something has worked. So I know who I am in Christ. So my sins are forgiven. So I will learn this and I will grow in it. I'm not a slave to sin. I want you to go home like that. I'm not a slave to sin. You know that first thing Satan does, by the time he normalizes that sin to you, remember how I started? The next thing, he makes you believe you cannot even do without it. So you hear people say things like, my family, we just did like that. We drink. And so we be. He makes you believe that thing has conquered you. Once you keep believing, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So just walk around carrying that emblem of, I'm just, This is just, it's just me, Sha. It's just me, Sha.
Was it you when you were growing up? Was it you when you were growing up? The problem is people that are even addicted to things bigger than them. One guy, you don't have money, addicted to cocaine. So I'm telling you, I can't be addicted to that kind of thing. Choose another addiction. Why can't you choose that kind of... He would go, I'm not telling you, so this guy, they had to call me, the family had to call me. He would go to where he's doing the whatever. After the whole thing, he will not have money to pay. They will seize his phone, seize his car, seize different things. He will trek home and start calling everybody. Say, please now, they seized my car. I need 14,000 to bring it out. And then they give him the money. He goes, gets it out, and goes back. Stay with God's word. Expose your mind to the truth of the word of God. Amen? Stay there. It will produce and it will make you what it says. So I believe the word of God. So I will expose my mind to God's word. I love the word of God. I am what he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. Stand to your feet wherever you are. Come on.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.